JavaScript podcasting art, whatever. This is the very lately in JavaScript podcast, because we've been almost all day recording other podcasts, in this case of PHP, but this time it's time for the and now I'm listening to my echo. And I'm not.
Okay. Oh, is it possible that we recorded like three podcasts and on the fourth we're starting having technical problems?
Because this month we could not use live coding, which is not called live review. And it was our. It was not accessible, and I could not also start the program. So now I was listening to my own stream in YouTube Live. But we are here to talk about JavaScript. And lately, have not been many, many interesting topics, but I found some obscure ones that I'm finding hard even to understand what they mean, but we'll try to make them useful for everybody that is watching. Okay, first let's start with a brief summary of the topics of this podcasting art. First, we have here an article about a library, Momo.js. It says it is a library for motion for the web, and as you may see already, there are some parts of the page that are being animated. This is achieved with SVG graphics, and there are some examples in the article that show how it works with some examples of code. Next, we talk about frameworks without the framework. Why didn't we think of this sooner? It's basically an article about somehow generating code to use at runtime that is simpler than the whole framework with all the features that it can use. So it will be a smaller set of the code, just what you need for your application. In the next article that you want to comment, it says JavaScript developers, watch your language. It's somehow a criticism to the complications that may arise from using things like transpilers, like Babel, and such, and the consequences that it may have in the future that you should be aware. The next article is about native JavaScript development after Internet Explorer. It basically talks about what is it like today that we can use many features of JavaScript and HTML5 in the modern browsers without using polyfills. So it's all native to the current browsers and eventually without jQuery. The next topic is about using emojis and combining emojis to generate different images that may represent a single emoji, but they are composed of several emojis. And this talks about the possibilities of using Unicode to combine emojis in JavaScript. The next topic is about a library. This one is a simple one. It's a library that can work for modern browsers and provides a synchronous loading of scripts in a way that works well with the current browsers that are actively being supported. And finally, we have a topic on performing smooth image zooming in a way that takes advantage of features like the CSS zoom property. and use that to implement animations. So the first topic, I need to share the screen if I can. It's interesting because it shows some animations. Let me reload the page. I don't need to reload the page, it animates by itself.
It's randomly animated.
It animates parts of the page that use vector graphics, SVG, I think.
Yeah.
And
as you see, the top is moving right now and bottom is moving, so it's animating this page. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is done with the library mo.js, and it uses SVG. It even has some examples that do not seem to do anything, or that's
just how to draw a shape, for example. It's not an example of animation, but
also it has some code and it has some Babel code. Why they are using Babel? Is it different?
Probably some ECMAScript flavoring. I don't know.
Yeah, go and figure. They just like to be against everybody else. And
so you can draw different shapes.
Yeah, okay. But the ones that actually seem to be running are these ones. So this is a pentagon, and it shows some an animation. I'll try to understand this parameter. Years, there are the duration, there is delay, and radius. So I suppose that it animates a radius, could it be? And also rotates the shape.
Scale and angle are animated from 0 to, you see?
Oh, I see. Scale and angle. Oh, now I get it. So the rest is fixed.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And feel, of course, color.
Well, my question to you, maybe we have a better idea, is what these things could be useful for?
For animations?
Yeah, right. I have developed an animation library a long time ago, but it had a purpose. For instance, you said animate this element and it put an underline character, just like simulating as if the person was like underlining the text with a pen. Yes, and it was helpful to get the attention to the person. Oh, this is the information that you need to pay the attention. So I was wondering if these animations could also be used for that purpose.
Probably, but also to creating movie clips, for example, like this one, Run Pen. It should also play music, I think.
Yeah.
So you can create a clip art animations and stuff like that.
And the music is playing.
Yeah. And below there will be also a gun animation, interesting and stuff like that. Lots of code, yes. So you can
it's dual shapes.
Yeah, so you can animate the existing SVG elements that you not only draw them, but also animate the one that you enter in HTML, I think.
So the code for this, it's scrolled all the way. I don't like these scroll bars because you have a difficulty to handle them. Oh, this is the HTML, and this is this SCSS. So is this animated? Oh.
It creates custom shape and then animates it.
Okay. This is for people that like to program animations.
Yes.
Yeah. This is not very easy to do, but okay. If you want to animate a radio that is playing a song and throwing some key notes, this is more complicated.
Okay. Scroll down. Let's see all the animations that are there. The examples. So for burst,
burst
is like exploding something quick anywhere.
This one?
No, it says quick anywhere. Click on, It was doing something for me. Try clicking rerun again, maybe. I don't know.
Let me stop this one.
Yeah, okay.
rerun.
Yes, and now click anywhere. Nothing happens for you. It happens for me. Some swirl like animations. So let me try to share it.
Yeah, because I'm using a regular Chrome.
Okay, so I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
So there are like explosion, like swirling and everything. So there are also timelines. So it's like a movie clip. Tweens. Oh, and here we have a gun.
Yeah.
Rerun gun. So it shoots and all the stuff.
Yes, I don't see that. Is that in the same click anywhere?
No, it says underneath. Scroll more.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why click anywhere doesn't work for you. You're not clicking strong enough.
It's a matter.
Press your mouse harder.
Yes, that could be. Or longer. No, not. the fault is from Sarah Drasner. She didn't make this work for me. She doesn't like me. Okay, well, this is always interesting. I just wonder if there was a purpose to this, like having some animation that gets the attention to the users. But okay, anyway, moving on to the next topic, there is an article here that talks about frameworks. Without the framework, why didn't we think of this sooner? When I read this, I immediately remember about Bootstrap, but Bootstrap is not so much about compiling frameworks into only the parts that you need, but rather just extracting the parts that you need. And in this case, it's more for JavaScript. Well, I think this makes sense because if you just compile it for a specific purpose, the compiled version will be optimized for that purpose. That's what I got from this article.
Yes, something like that. I didn't completely understand it either, how it does it, but the idea is that you can use any or some specific frameworks that work with it, and you write the code, and then you Svelte on it, which transpiles the code to vanilla JavaScript, only having probably, as you mentioned, the features that you're using from that framework. And basically, it provides a smaller library in the end, smaller code for you to use, because you're not using some kind of framework and framework's code, but the vanilla code in the end. Really, don't know how exactly, but it should be something to try.
I don't know, because could be it's something like what they call aspect-oriented programming that lets you define only the aspect that you want to use from a certain part of the code. Are you saying something? I think you are muted.
No. I'm just trying. I'm just reading more on examples here. So I would like to see more on it, but didn't really see a link of examples. Only the guide how to do that.
Yeah, I was searching for the word aspect in the article to figure.
I think you're already on the next article.
Oh, did I jump the window? Yes, how could I?
Oh, okay, I found something from about this. Let me share the screen. So here we are using some kind of, I don't know, can you see my screen normally?
When you talk, okay.
Yeah, here. So here we can see that we are using some kind of component, some kind of third-party framework, which has a component and set. And this would be the end result. or something like that. But if we run it through Svelte, we would have something like that. It took out all the parts of the framework that we are using, converted it to vanilla JavaScript, and the end code we are using is this, and not including the whole library. So something like this, I guess.
Yeah. So it kind of it disappeared now. Okay. So it's sort of a template-based system now.
Well, it's something it could do, I think. Not specifically what it needs to do. So really complicated. If you want to know more, than read the article, try it yourself.
Yeah. Because many years ago I developed a sort of a metaprogramming language. You have something that has commands in XML, and it were bound to modules that were implemented in PHP, and they would execute actions that could actually be generating code. And this is abstract, seems useless, but in practice, I used it to create ORM classes.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, for instance, a object relational mapping class could have functions to get one, get several, get update, save the object, delete. But if you don't need all those functions, you would actually save the ones that you need. And I actually use this until today. And it could generate PHP, JavaScript. In the beginning, I even supported Perl and Java. But those are the days, and when people used to use XML to store data. But I use it until today, and for ORM purposes, it makes sense because you don't need all the possible functionality in all objects. So it would generate specific classes. Those are final classes. They do not try to do things at runtime, for instance. Oh, I want to build this query to execute. At runtime, that query is fixed. So it would actually generate the code for the query, even if part of the query is taken from the dynamically provided values that pass code to the functions. But I don't know if this is similar for the purposes. Anyway, it says yes, we can try serious applications in vanilla JavaScript without hitting a complexity wall, but a compiler can do it. Well, I don't know what is more complex. It depends on the person that is judging it, I think. Okay, well, anyway, moving on to the next topic. JavaScript developers, what's your language? This is yet another article that is a bit hard to understand its purpose, but from what I got is for you to refrain from using complicated constructs or trying to push features to a language that doesn't need to be this much complex. I don't know. What you got from this article?
Yes, so there is an interesting premise describing a future 2021, and that you were coding something that's not working, and it's because the code is outdated, nobody supports it, and it was specifically written for some transpiler, and now this version updated and it's not compatible with it anymore and you can't fix it and stuff like that. And I think the whole point of the article is that lots of users are starting to rely on Babel as a transpiler to use features that they are not supposed to use yet, at least not in production, but many of them are doing that.
Yeah.
And that in the end, in the future, you can run into problems with that. But actually, going back to the previous article we had about Svelte, it could solve this problem, I think, that if we run the code through Svelte, we would make it framework agnostic. So even if the plugin was written for AngularJS, we could run through Svelte, it would be converted to vanilla JavaScript, and anyone can use it. So there are no dependencies like that. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, but do you use Babel?
No, of course not.
But isn't it just for ECMAScript 6, or is it for other things?
Well, there's basically the author describes that he's work hard on to extending official tests in ECMAScript and participating community a lot, and the idea was that where it was, in the article, it asks. I'm reminded of a recent JavaScript users group meeting here in Boston. The presenter asked, "Does anyone know which features were introduced in AS 2016?" And they reply, "Function decorators." And actually, that's not part of ES 2016. Even its inclusion in 2017 is debatable. Oh, 2016, that introduced the structure in assignments. Not quite. The structure in binding was standardized in 2015. Basically, with Babel, we lose this line when everything has. So Babel provides features that not even yet standardized in ECMAScript any. So it's not only ECMAScript 2016 there.
That's a problem because we don't know anymore what is what. What about TypeScript? Did you use TypeScript?
No, I know about it, but no, have not used it.
Because recently a user asked me, "Oh, I have a package in TypeScript. Is it okay to send to JS class?" Sure. In the end, it is JavaScript, but I don't know TypeScript. Is it JavaScript with types or something like that?
It's basically JavaScript flavor that I think Microsoft released it, so it should be similar to C Sharp with classes and all.
Okay, but anything different from ECMAScript? I mean, in terms of features?
The types. The full inherited object-oriented of the C-sharp-like language, I think. It should be all there.
And interpret the C-sharp, right?
No, I don't say it's exactly C-sharp, but it's like that. I assume. I'm not really diving into it. But all object-oriented and type stuff make me think that. In the end, it transpiled into the vanilla JavaScript either way.
Yeah. I start thinking that the JavaScript community hates itself because they are making things more complicated. But it's not just JavaScript. In PHP world, the other day somebody showed me a stack trace of an error somewhere in the middle of a framework. It's more than 100 lines of stack. Oh, man. What happened? Where were you when this error happened? People are complicating things more than they should. So it's not a problem just of JavaScript. It's people that sometimes build abstractions on top of abstractions, and it gets very complicated. Anyway, the next topic, hopefully simpler to understand, it talks about native JavaScript development after in the Internet Explorer. So by native here, I understand that they mean not needing polyfills to implement certain function calls that nowadays are available in practically all browsers, right?
Yes, exactly. I understand that too.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So basically, it's a list of all the features that were not supported in older Internet Explorer versions. I think they count Internet Explorer 11 and Edge as the new one, and all everything else is older one. So you would need all these features listed here with the instructions or polyfills how to use them on older versions, I guess.
Yeah. There is page transition events. Is this a standard feature or something? Or
yes, I think so.
I remember that you did, wasn't it you that did a component that they did some transitions when you changed from one page to the other?
Yep.
Do you mean that it's obsolete now, or maybe not?
No, it does not do the animation or I think transitions like that. It just notifies you some events, they are on the event.
Our events, okay. Page show, page I. So this is like somewhere different than on load and on unload?
Yes, if you are loading from cache or pre-rendering or stuff like that, there were many scenarios.
Okay, this is interesting, but I thought it was teaching something that we didn't know. Okay, anyway, the next topic is about another thing that is probably even more confusing, which is the use of emojis that nowadays are supported in Unicode. Personally, I think it was not a very good idea, because now if you want to build a complete font, you need to put emojis in there. I don't think that was a good idea. So if you change the font, certain emojis stop appearing. Anyway, it says emoji prototype link that tell of characters of Unicode. So basically, this is probably not very specific to JavaScript, except for the notation that is used to represent Unicode characters. And
Why you're not loaded correctly? Okay, check my screen. So I'm sharing it right now. Can you see it?
Mine is not loading.
Yeah. Well, no, yours is loading, but you are not displaying the icons correctly, Unicode icons correctly for some reason.
Ah, that explains it, because that's the reason why I was telling to not use icons. What's wrong with icons? Icon images.
Yeah. So if you can focus on my screen then for now.
Where?
Yeah. So basically.
Now it makes sense to me, because I can't see those things.
Basically, as Arthur mentions, he came across a tweet by Vice Boss in which he shared some JavaScript operations on strings, including the emoji family. So actually, if you split this emoji, in the end, it seems it contains three Unicode characters, which is a father, mother, and a child, of course, and using the spread operator. So it seems like you can combine Unicode characters to create new Unicode characters. And then the author went on experimenting further with it, and he found how emojis are combining. Yeah. So for example, you can have a human add a color, and you would have a resulting human with different skin color.
Now makes sense to me, because I don't have a knife.
Yeah, so that you can create different families with two women and a child or stuff like that, or multiple families with many child, and it actually changes the icon. So you can do like a mathematical operation of summing them up together into one icon. Or for example, the man singer icon, which is called David Bowie emoji, it's simply a man plus music plus headphones, yes. And if you do the same with the woman, they would get a woman. And so here, for example, so there are more some examples. Even I'm not loaded some of them, so some of the icons, it seems.
Okay. So the challenge is what? Counting the actual length of characters?
I don't know, actually. But in reality, he says that not all combinations are still are supported yet. So. Of course, there are pre-programmed. It's not like a dynamically generated icons. It's all pre-programmed. But the idea is that if you combine two characters in Unicode, you can usually get two or even more characters. You can usually get a new emoji. So that was the interesting part in this article.
Well, it makes sense. Now it makes sense to me, because I was not understanding. I thought it was more a challenge, like computing the length of an emoji character when it is represented with ASCII character, which means that multiple characters will return just one emoji. But okay, I got it. Well, the next article is about something much simpler, which is a library called Load.js, and that library
is loading JS.
Is loading JS, of course.
I'm a spoiler, yeah.
Ah, you should have said that. And it says 712 bytes. I don't know if this is accurate because there were changes in the code. What I think it is impressive is that the whole bunch of files that the package needs, author, change log, license, readme, release, bower, gulp file, package, test. I guess they have thousands of files in tests. How to test something that in practice is just this. Some func and so on. Allows, I don't know, did you see the actual example of using this code?
And some in the readme, I think, yeah, there is.
Readme?
Yeah, here.
Okay.
So, JS. So you
how do you load the Load.js library?
What do you mean? How did I guess?
The script tag.
Call it intuition.
No, it's inception. It's like the effect on live coding when we are capturing the one live coding screen.
So it's the only library that you load normally and load others through it, I guess.
Yeah, these people are crazy. Anyway. I think it takes care of queuing, so multiple scripts that maybe depend on others do not load in parallel and cause errors.
Yeah, one interesting actually, like a feature or maybe site feature that Load.js also detects script load failures from AdBlock Plus and Ghostery. So if you are loading ads through scripts, through this script, you can detect if they are blocked by AdBlock and like not display content to end user if they're using AdBlock, for example, or something like that.
That was an interesting feature. I missed that part.
Yeah.
Let's annoy the users that use AdBlock.
Exactly.
Like, show some messages like, you are mean. You don't want our site to survive. You are blocking the ads.
Show them emojis.
Yeah, exactly. Emojis of some bodies.
Red balls.
Yeah. Oh, this is funny to be even mentioned. Anyway, well, this is seems to be useful, and I can see. I have done a component many years ago, but I think it somehow became obsolete and probably not very well compatible with all browsers, which was a content loader component that it would load.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it would defer the load of certain parts of the page so it doesn't delay the rest of the page. But nowadays, there is a sync, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for things that are not dependent on each other, I think it can work well. Well, this is yet another loader library. And finally, we have something that, after all, it's easier to understand. It's a solution. I don't know. Is this a library? I couldn't find the actual code.
Yeah, I think so. It's on GitHub. It's, again, lots of files, even tests. And demo and build and scripts and stuff like that. Better not look at it, you'll get frustrated. No, don't look at it.
Okay. I couldn't resist. it requires the required JS, I think.
Well, it's...
No, it's Babel. No,
not spamming, yes.
Oh, please.
But better not look at it, I told you. You're gonna have a heart attack.
Yeah, don't let your kids take these drugs. Anyway, let's stick to the actual effect, which is a smooth image zooming, I would say.
Yeah.
And the trick is that it uses CSS zoom property, right?
Yes, not only, it also animates the positions and stuff like that. So there are, I think there were two images, the thumbnail that we are looking now and the end image that is loaded, and everything between is animated using CSS.
So what about this grayscale effect?
No, it's a thumbnail just in that color. So I
don't... the image is in this color?
Yeah.
So the final image that is in color is a different image?
Yes, there are two images, thumbnail and the...
But it's interesting because I think at least in old times, people used to try to make some zooming effects on images by creating larger images. And that was not very efficient, but this way it's very efficient and hopefully less memory consumption. Yeah. Hello, this is the Innovation Award edition of January, on which, as always, we are going to talk about the nominees of the past month, starting from October. They were nominated in November, and then in December the results come out. So now we can comment about them. So let's start with the JavaScript classes. In October, there were nominated like six packages. Arthurs, which ones would you like to comment?
Let me share the screen first. Let me share the funny video of Manuel Lemos first.
No, please don't.
Yeah, okay. Everyone can check it on Manuel's Facebook timeline, so don't need to share it here.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, my mom already gone to heaven, so she will not be embarrassed anymore. Okay, but back to the packages.
Yeah. So the first package I would want to comment on is AH JavaScript Password Strength Check. Developed by Axel Hahn, that's, I assume, YAH, from Switzerland. And basically, it allows you to check password strength, monitoring some input. So there is even a demo here, which is not showing up, but works.
Not sure.
In a new window. It works in a new window for some reason. Okay. Yes.
I see. Oh, yes, that's because now the site is HTTPS and it...
That could be a problem. So
it's a problem because browsers don't make it the page insecure just because you have iframes that are not...
Yes. Yeah, we were having this similar problem somewhere too. Okay, so... we can enter some passwords test. Okay, for lowercase, let's make a digit, a special character, an uppercase character, and another character to make it 8. And yeah, it all works. So something like this, and probably it provides comprehensive callbacks so you can modify UI or display it whatever you want. I actually needed to implement something like this similarly before New Year. So where were you then in October? Okay. I think
October.
I could have used that. Yeah, I could have used that, but it's more...
Too late.
Too late, unfortunately. But yes, thanks for to Axel for this package, and he did not pick a price, as I see.
Yes, in this case, he explicitly told that he did not want the price because he is already having great fans submitting great packages, and that's good to know because this one and the others that he submitted are quite good ones.
Okay, so the next package is Cloud.js from Farhadur Rahim from Bangladesh. And this package is a jQuery plugin which provides a way to allow users to save something from your website to their cloud storages like Google Drive or Dropbox. Again, there is a demo, and again, it's not working here, but all working in a new window. So it looks something like this, I think. It probably would ask me to authenticate. Yeah, exactly. And then provide you some kind of an API to use it to send the file or anything you want into your cloud storage account.
Yeah, this is pretty useful. Just a few JavaScript lines, and you can tell people, "Oh, send it to my Dropbox account."
Yep, sounds very useful.
I think it takes a URL of some page, or not sure anymore.
So it looks something like, you need to provide some keys to applications, and just add data file link in this case, I think, but probably it could be more complicated than that.
Okay.
And Farhadur chose one ebook of choice by Pact for this package. And the last one is jQuery create Slug from text. So Slug is basically this, the URL name that you usually try to make from the similar title, so search engines would rank your page better on these keywords. And it was developed by Afshin Akhar from Iran, also as a jQuery plugin. And then there is also a demo, also not working, but works here. And so we can do JavaScript. We podcast and some random symbols. Also, it transfers dollar to dollar. Interesting. Does it do? I think. And okay. So it does some interesting translation. And if you're preparing articles and you need to have search engine optimized URL, then you can use this package to do that easier. Afshin got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package.
Yes, this is good to know. I started using some slugs manually defined for the blog posting system. And the default is to use some rules like those, like translating some characters. But if I want to edit the slug for some reason, I need to do it manually, so maybe a class like this would be helpful. Okay, so on my behalf, I also like to mention a few packages, starting this one, JS Filer from Valo Reima from Estonia. He has submitted quite a bunch of...
You are not sharing a screen, sorry.
Sorry.
We like looking at you, but we would prefer looking at one that developed the package.
No, you're just being nice. We're just saying. Nobody likes to look at me.
Zoom in, please. That would be even better.
Yeah. Okay. It's not Zoom.
Nope. Yep. Now it is.
Yeah. Okay. So this package is basically a jQuery plugin that... is nice because it allows you to manipulate data that is in tree view. So you can add notes not only you can display the nodes in nested tree views, but you can also perform other operations like adding, renaming, removing, searching, copying, moving tree views. So it's the whole set of possibilities to manipulate tree views with items. Unfortunately, we don't have a demo to show, just an example script, as you may see here.
Yeah, which is hard to understand.
Yes, because, well, it is not even highlighted, but I don't know if it was highlighted, if it would help. I could swear I have seen a demo somewhere. Let me check. Sometimes the person puts in the README.
Or maybe there is, was a link added or something like that. In the link section, or README section.
Well, usually people put in the... there is a link here. Oh, but this site does not support this type. I would say some unsafe scripts. I don't even know what are those. Probably other of those are ads. Okay. Are you seeing it now?
Yep.
Yes, it even sends AJAX requests to load. I think those are AJAX requests.
What else that would load faster?
Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe it's simulating. You can the node. And you can copy, right?
So you can create a file system.
Basically, yes. I think what I said, copy. Isn't this a copy?
Probably, but you need to paste too. No.
No, it's not working. I don't know if there is an issue. Well, it is supposed to do that. Embed page file. I should delete. No, okay, delete. And copy. Can I edit? Create a new. Okay. For some reason, copy is not copying anything. And cutting it is also not cutting anything. Maybe there is some issue. Anyway, it is a nice package from Valorama, from Estonia, as I said, and he got one. License of IP2 country database for using in geo-targeted applications. The next
as I see, as I see, the name was much, much, much longer. You just skipped some parts.
Oh yes, because the IP2 country people want to specify the version, what details it contains.
Okay.
All the details, because they have 20 versions. This. Wow. It was important to specify this one.
Yeah, so not to confuse anyone, right?
Yeah, it's just to say that the free version does not have probably much more than the country and the latitude and longitude and probably some city name and the rest, I think, is not there. Okay. Anyway, the next process, the package I want to comment, is called Collab MES, and it is from Jakob Crow from Poland. And it's interesting because this is more of your field. It's a package for Node.js, but it uses already ECMAScript 6 code to create some worker processes and a manager that creates the worker processes, and it can send messages between them, which is always good because when you have created some worker process that are performing some task, it probably needs to communicate back the result. So this is a package from Jakob Krull. I already mail Jakob Krull, but for some reason he is not answering, so I'm not sure if I'm getting his mail right. For some reason, this is complaining that the page is not secure. Could be the heads. That may, could it be the reason that the data is not working? You can click here, clicking details. Unreload.
Mixed content, yeah.
Make HTTP.
You have a reference somewhere.
Oh, those are some heads. Oh, I know. I need to fix. I've been migrating to SSL gradually. So if you find these warnings, don't worry, I'll fix them soon. So the next package that I want to comment is this one that is quite nice, JavaScript PDF Flipbook, that allows you to browse PDF documents like a book, turning its pages. It is a package from Eric Akartuna from Turkey. I hope all is well in Turkey. And what this package does, it would be interesting to see the demo again.
I would like to see it too. Again? What do you mean again? You already saw that? How interesting.
I have to. It's my duty.
Don't spoil it.
It's loading the article. So it loads the PDF article. I think it uses PDF.js.
Is it a secret?
I'm not sure. But it's a combination of things. So it's nice. Oh, actually, it's very fast. Is there something to slow down?
Yeah, it's like skipping a frame, and I only see one frame of turning right now. So if you want to see it in real life, you would need to open the demo and look at yourself, because from the video, it's really hard to understand, I think.
Yeah, no, this is the demo.
Yeah. So, demo. I mean, the ones, the users that are watching or listening, they would need to view it themselves to understand how good it is.
Or is it that my machine is too fast?
No, your network is too slow.
Oh, maybe it's that. But anyway, it is nice that it even makes the noise of flipping a book page.
Can you even smell paper?
I think that API is still in beta. HTML 5 smell API. Smelling.
That would be nice. Full experience.
You just wait and see. Well, once I saw that now you can jump on the top of a drone and fly by yourself.
Yeah, like an Iron Man.
I can expect anything. Oh, Iron Man is outdated. Everything there is possible already. Anyway. Yep,
even Zuckerberg built Jarvis, so everything is possible.
Oh, don't tell me about it. Okay. Do you also give voice commands to mobile phones and things like that?
No, not really. I think it's mostly used on English language, and my accent is not that good to be understood correctly.
But if there it was possible for your language, would you use it?
While driving, definitely. Other than that, probably not.
I don't know. Personally, I'll feel stupid, and then I'll feel frustrated because most of the time it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the main reason.
Yeah, but I don't know. But you are right. Maybe driving sometimes it's useful because you can't use your hands in many places, or else you can cause an accident.
So you anyway, can tell four. You can tell your phone catch Pokemon or something like that.
Are you playing Pokemon these days?
Yes, usually when we are shopping and I'm bored.
No, the right answer is no, because my kids want me to. It's not me, it's my kids.
No, it's me who hooked them up. So I'm ashamed, I know. Yeah, I'm looking down right now.
But you have a gamer blood, so... I don't know. I thought it was a trend that already stopped. But if you are still playing it, I don't know. But anyway, there are still people that play. What was that 3D game called? Online.
There are lots of 3D games. No, World of Warcraft.
No, not. It was one that even had banks and supermarkets.
Second Life.
Second Life, exactly. I was told that there is still people playing Second Life, so Pokemon is pretty modern. Okay, anyway, moving on to the JavaScript Innovation Award, we had like 12 nominees. And okay, which ones would you like to comment?
You won't comment about the overall structure of the JS classes?
Yes, of course. Me and my Alzheimer attacks. Anyway, you are reaching to the end, but we still have 1 month to vote, so the results are not final yet.
I can give you one more suggestion. Do you want to hear it?
About what?
About sharing. Your
screen. And turning on the lights while you are at it.
So,
okay.
Get yourself together.
Yeah, because I went to sleep late and woke up earlier than my usual.
Yeah, on the other hand, I just slept before the podcast because I know we would record late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's all messed up. Anyway, I was, as I was saying, for the Innovation Award of the year rankings, and the staff is ahead with 6 percentage points. This didn't change much since the last month. And it's followed by Dantini Francois with 5 points, Everton de Rosa with 2 points, Juan Jose from Spain and Axel Hahn and Far Adur Rahim are tied with 6 points. Valdo Zimonek, Gustavo Davila, Shin Afgar, Martin Latter all tied with 5 points.
For a minute, I thought that was one long name.
What? Oh, you thought it was just one person.
Some Brazilian name, probably common name.
Yeah. Even though, well, there are some Brazilians here, but one of them has an uncommon name.
Yeah.
Sounds more Polish than Brazilian, but okay. Anyway, by country, things are more or less the same. Hungary is ahead with 6 points and 22 points. Dantini Francois with from France is with 6 points and 21 points is in second. Sorry, I was mentioning by country. So I was saying France is in second place with 6 points and 21 points. Brazil is in third with 17 points. United Kingdom is tied with Spain with 9 points. Germany and Mexico are tied in sixth place with 7 points. Switzerland is in eighth place with Bangladesh with 6 points. And finally, Iran with 5 points is in 10th. Okay, that was yet another JavaScript Hangout with a bunch of confusing topics. But we finally reached to the end. Since these were topics that related things that happened in December, and December is always not a very good year in terms of month in terms of activity. Hopefully, next podcast have more interesting topics to come out about. So, on my behalf, Happy New Year to everybody. And that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.